Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We begin with an application for admission to the bar. Mr. Marsh, will you come forward with your applicant?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Bill Marsh. I'm the federal defender for the Southern District of Indiana. It's my pleasure to introduce to the Court this morning Jubal Scott, who is an assistant federal defender in the Southern District. Ms. Scott is a graduate of the law school at Indiana University in Indianapolis. She's a member in good standing of the Bar of the State of Indiana and the Southern District of Indiana, and it's my pleasure to move her admission to the Bar of this Court.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Marsh. Your motion is granted. And Ms. Scott, we welcome you to the Bar of this Court and wish you a long and successful career.
Thank you.
If you would step over and take the oath, please. First case for argument this morning is Kobugabe against Gonzalez. Mr. Tenbrock.
May it please the Court, James Tenbrock on behalf of the petitioner Beth Kobugabe. This is a case of withholding or removal of the petitioner. The petitioner testified before the immigration court and the Board of Immigration Appeals summarily affirmed the denial of asylum and withholding and removal. The petitioner testified before the immigration court and said, well, she's from Uganda. She's part of the Batoro tribe. And while living... living with her brother and her sister-in-law and some of their children and her children, there was an incident with the military. Specifically, she testified that she went to go shopping with her sister-in-law, and when she returned, she was told not to go to the home. She subsequently learned that the children were taken away. The house was burned, and her brother was killed. She testified that she believed that she was targeted because she was part of the Batoro tribe, that her father and two other brothers, including the one that was killed, were targeted because they were also associated with the Akello and Obote regimes that were in power prior. She also testified that...
Counsel,
yes.
Time is short. You might want to get to the legal question. The only question
okay.
on the table, I gather, is withholding of removal.
Right. And
the legal standard for that is that your client must show that persecution is more likely than not.
Right.
That's pretty serious standard. And given the current country conditions in Uganda, how can that be satisfied?
Okay. Well, I think... In this instance, the immigration court found that the petitioner was not credible. There was an adverse credibility finding. And my review of the record indicates that this adverse credibility finding was not supported. And
let's assume that that's true.
Okay.
My question is, how, if you take everything your client said is true, and if you give regard to current country conditions in Uganda, can one say that it has been legally established so clearly that no agency could decide otherwise that persecution is more likely than not, that is 51% or greater probability?
Well, I think that in light of the case law concerning the testimony of witnesses...
I'm not asking about the case law. I'm just asking how one shows that given... current country conditions in Uganda and the more likely than not standard, which is the one you need to meet.
All right. I reviewed the country conditions that were submitted by the government in this instance. These reports are, I mean, the one that the government's relying on is a 1997 report that indicates that the Toro tribe...
I'm asking about current country conditions in Uganda. The latest State Department country report is for 2004.
Okay. My review of that report does not indicate that the Batoro tribe is no longer being persecuted.
But there's no support in that current report for your client's position in terms of the conditions in Uganda, right? You know, because the 1997 report didn't help her. Because there had been no recent cases reported where someone was in danger in Uganda because of their ethnic status. So this 2004 report doesn't indicate there is a problem with someone from her tribe, right, being singled out in circumstances. In other words, there's nothing helpful to you in the 2000 report, is it? 2004 report?
Well, there may not be, but my understanding of the burden of proof here is, yes, the petitioner has to meet by clear and convincing evidence, but at the same time, where she establishes past persecution, it's the government's burden to establish.
No, that's the asylum standard, and your client is not entitled to asylum because she missed the deadline. We're dealing with the withholding of removal standard.
Your Honor, I have to respectfully disagree on that. I had reviewed the regulations this morning, and it's 8 CFR 1208.17. It said with respect to withholding removal that the government still bears the burden where a party shows...
The Supreme Court has said otherwise. The burden is clearly on the applicant in withholding of removal cases. Otherwise, counsel, there's no difference between asylum and removal and withholding of removal. And plainly, as the Supreme Court has held in Stevic, there is. It's quite a substantial difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, Your Honors, if the country reports do not address in any detail what's happening with the Batoro tribe, and if this court is looking exclusively to that, then perhaps the petitioner hasn't met her burden in this case. However, just because a country report doesn't get into something concerning her tribe, I don't believe that...
Well, is there some other reason to believe that members of the Batoro tribe are at danger at the more likely than not standard in today's Uganda?
I can't say with that. I can't... if I were to say anything...
Yeah, but that's the problem, right? If your client has the burden to show something at the more likely than not standard... and the record is entirely empty, it's very difficult.
Well, I had the record as it was given to me, and as I understood the way I read the petitioner's testimony, her testimony should be sufficient. I'm going to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, counsel. Mr. Edwards.
Good morning, Your Honors. I am David Edwards, and I represent the respondent in this case. Relating to the country reports, the latest country reports, I would point the court to Section 1252B4A, which states that the administrative findings of fact are conclusive unless, the Court of Appeals shall decide the petition only on the administrative record on which the order of removal is based. So I would submit that the current country reports, which was not part of the record, is really not within the court's consideration today.
Why are you saying that? The government regularly takes the opposite view. Mm-hmm. Has the Department of Justice suddenly changed its mind?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I was just researching the law, and that's what I found. Anyhow, I did review the most current country conditions report of the U.S. State Department, and it's almost the same as the previous ones in my reading of it. Yes, Uganda is fraught with problems. Yes, Uganda is in some places at some times a dangerous place to be. Again, there is no mention specifically of the Batoro tribe, and ordinarily the country reports will, if there's a human rights issue or a targeted group, will point out that fact. Even I noticed that the country reports will point out individuals, individuals unknown before that were persecuted. So I did review that record, Your Honor, and or that country report, Your Honor, and found that there is no record therein of persecution of the Batoro tribe specifically. In this case, I believe there's one issue for this court to decide with respect to the petitioner's application for withholding of removal. That is, whether it, as a reasonable adjudicator, is compelled, that is, driven, forced, or constrained, to reach a conclusion that is contrary to the administrative determination of the immigration judge, that the petitioner was not credible. I believe it is not, but if it deems itself so compelled, then alternatively, is the court compelled to conclude, contrarily to the immigration judge's administrative finding, that the country conditions evidence rebuts the petitioner's claim of future persecution on a statutory prescribed ground? I would like to visit the issue of credibility. The immigration judge gave three specific cogent reasons for her incredibility finding, which were substantial and bore a legitimate nexus to it. First, the inconsistency in the petitioner's testimony, and her second, I-589, her application for asylum. She declared she took care of Stephen and Florence's sons after their death, but in two separate statements in her affidavit, correction of her original I-589, she declared the boys had been killed along with their parents. Given the opportunity to explain, the petitioner said only, "That was a mistake in my writing." The immigration judge then noted that the petitioner's English, she was fluent in English, and she had had 5 years of study in a United States college. And this goes to the heart of the claim because the petitioner claims that many of her family members were killed. Second, there was the implausibility of the petitioner's theory that the children were held as a ransom to capture her. And it's not supported by her story that the soldiers troubled to abduct the children, but did not trouble to guard them at the hospital. It is illogical, I believe the immigration judge said, that the soldiers would thwart their own purpose in such a careless manner if they were in fact looking for the petitioner. This goes to the heart of the claim.
The world is full of Keystone Cops behavior.
I'm sorry, sir?
The world is full of Keystone Cops behavior, is it not?
Sorry, it is, even in this country.
And then was there any evidence that the distant border guards were associated with the soldiers who she claimed were trying to arrest her, or that the guards would be privy to the list of persons being sought?
With respect to her entry into Kenya from Uganda and her reentry into Uganda several times over, I think, 4 years. She entered and reentered in her own identity with her own photograph on her own papers. There is nothing in the record that specifically says there were soldiers at that crossing. But the point, as I see it, is that if she were concerned sufficiently for her life, that it would be taken if she were discovered, that she certainly would not exit under her own identity and reenter. She was given the opportunity to explain. She said that during those times there was relative calm in the country. And that claim goes to the heart of the claim because the petitioner claims she feared her detection and death at the hand of government forces. And there's a fourth inconsistency. That being that she testified when she made her many trips to Kenya, she left her children with friends, but her affidavit statement to her second I-589, prepared with counsel's assistance, declared that she left them with her mother. While this may not be central to her claim, it considered with the other discrepancies, it further undermines her claim. All right, even assuming credibility, the respondent maintains that petitioner did not show a clear probability of future persecution to establish eligibility for withholding of removal. In considering whether the persecution of the petitioner was more likely than not if returned to Uganda.
Well, let's get back to this friend business because the IJ said she had left the children with a friend, but at the hearing she said she left them with someone she didn't know. Did she actually testify she had left them with a friend? I mean, in the second application she said she left them with her mother. Were those words used with a friend, or was it someone she knew? Which then it wouldn't have been as great an inconsistency.
I recall reading in the transcript that there was someone that she didn't know.
Mm-hmm. So that use of friend is a term the IJ put in the record, but there was no testimony.
I wish I could point to the page in the transcript or in the record. I believe she did say she left him with friends as well, right around 285, I think, in the record, but I'm not positive about that, Your Honor. And in considering the country reports as a rebuttal to the claim for withholding removal and claim of a persecution, in terms of future persecution, the immigration judge considered the immigration or the country reports available in the record. She found several items. The government had given amnesty to former political enemies and had established human rights offices throughout the country. Even many had returned, including former President Tito Okello. The government had investigated and dismissed corrupt police, military, and judicial officials and had enacted new military law system. Museveni had allowed restoration of traditional Bantu kingdoms, including the Toro Kingdom, which includes the petitioner's ethnic group. The government had become more tolerant of critics. Museveni had ethnically balanced his cabinet. He had improved human rights, his human rights record by such democratic reforms as reduction of abuses by the army and the police. And there was no mention of the Toro ethnic group as being disfavored or abused. The petitioner introduced no evidence that the Batoros are presently a targeted group for persecution by the government. If there are no more questions, I'll end my case here, sir. Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Edwards. Mr. Tenbrook, anything further?
Very quickly. With respect to the inconsistencies that counsel just referred to, at this point I would just rely on my brief that goes into those in some detail as to how I don't believe that there are major inconsistencies such that the court could have made an adverse credibility finding. Further, with respect to the main issue in this case, whether or not the petitioner has met her burden, a lot of the discussion so far has been with respect to whether or not the Batoros are a tribe that could be recognized as being subject to persecution. But I would also note that the record also discloses that the petitioner stated that her brothers were associated with past regimes. And that's also a reason for her persecution. So it not only...
Do we know in this record that the current government of Uganda persecutes people who had supported the Obote and Okello governments?
Well, I think the country reports, as I recall, no, the country reports do not refer to that.
Well, country reports aren't the only way we could know something. I was asking whether there was any other
evidence
basis in the record.
Okay.
No.
Judge, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I would also note that that recent news coming out of Uganda, insofar as this court may take judicial notice, have indicated that the president of Uganda has reversed himself substantially with respect to a lot of the democratic changes that he has supposedly made. I particularly remember a report dated sometime in December of 2005 where he's taken some action.
Well, does the recent news from Uganda suggest that the government is persecuting either members of the Batoro tribe or people who supported Okello when he was president, for example?
No.
Those are the critical questions.
I understand. And this, as I stand here now, I can't tell you that's true.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.